Welcome to this session on Beer and Hymns. My name is Justin Rimbaud. If I haven't met everybody yet, I am the guest musician until tomorrow morning. And then I'm off down the river, down the lake, the Lake River. And we've had a fantastic time here, but they asked me if I wanted to do a workshop or a session on something, and I had to stop and think, what can I talk about for an hour with people? And it was my dad's suggestion that maybe it's Beer and Hymns, because I've been doing Beer and Hymns events throughout the United States for over 10 years. And
you couldn't drink beer back then, though, right?
Whether on purpose or not, I picked up some things about how to do them and what they are. So just as an overview, I thought what we would do is I wrote this up here on this high-tech whiteboard. I thought we would talk about when, what, why, how, and when. So we're going to do sort of maybe a brief little history of how we understand beer and hymns to be, what it is and what it looks like when I do it, because that will be different depending on who you talk to and who's doing it. We'll talk about why it looks the way it does and why we do it, how it sort of connects to this theme that we've been wrestling with all year of the unity of love, what, if anything, it has to do with that, and then we'll have time for questions at the end. Okay, so that's the huh. Really quick, just as an informal poll, has anyone here ever been to a Beer and Hymns event in a public space? Yes, I know you two have. Yeah, great. Has anybody ever been a part of a group that's like a public singing group? So maybe a choir or some sort of, yeah, great, okay, much more people. That's terrific. Basically, there are conflicting stories about where Beer and Hymns comes from or when it started as an event. Just as a quick overview, you could sort of narrow it down as Beer and Hymns is an event where people get together in a public space, usually a bar or a restaurant, and someone starts the singing and everyone starts singing. So if we're going by that definition of getting together in a public space and singing, with possible food and drink there, we have no idea when this started, right? Because it could have been 500 years ago or 700 years ago or something like that. Tavern songs and singing in public have been a part of the human story for recorded history. Whenever I talk to, especially Lutherans, about beer and hymns, everyone always comes up with, oh, and you know Martin Luther used tavern songs to set music to his words. And I said, yeah, that's mostly true. It's a little weird, but it's nice that we Lutherans, of whom I count myself a part, have this sort of shared history of singing in bars. It's a really neat sort of history to have. In its contemporary form, the nearest we can come to sort of where this phenomenon started is there's a festival in England called the Greenbelt Festival. And if you've ever heard, who's heard of the Wild Goose Festival in North Carolina, right? Wild Goose is a North American incarnation of the Greenbelt Festival, which started in England. It's a social justice, music, art, creativity festival where everyone comes and sleeps in tents, sort of like a temporary Holden Village type thing where there's adult education and there's music artists. And they started doing this thing where one night of the week they just said, let's have beer and hymns, and we'll call it Beer and Hymns. And that's what they did. And so they came up with that, and as we can trace it, Nadia Boltz Weber, who's a pastor in Denver, Colorado, went to the Greenbelt Festival one year and said, we can do that. So she brought it back to her church, which is a church called House for All Sinners and Saints in Denver, and they started doing it at their local bar. Now, when they did it, they didn't have instruments because they, as a church, usually sang a cappella. So it wasn't like there was a band or a guitar up front. They all just got together and started singing. And then it sort of spurred off. And now you can find a Beer and Hymns event in at least every state in the Union, like maybe not Wyoming or something like that, or a really sort of place where people live far apart. But if you do a quick search, once you have internet again and you search Beer and Hymns, You can find one all over the country. And it's not just, of course, not just Lutherans that are doing it. Although Nadia's church is a Lutheran church, you have folks from non-denominational churches, and you have folks from Presbyterian churches. Methodists are kind of on the fence, you know, but depending on your theology of alcohol and stuff like that. They show up in all sorts of shapes. So when I say beer in hands, I have this image in my mind of what it looks like, because that's the way we do it. But if you find one and you attend one, it's going to look different. Like I said, Nadia's doesn't have instruments. When we do a beer in hands, I'm currently at a church in Columbia, South Carolina, and when we do a beer in hands, we have like three guitars and a cajon drum up front, and maybe sometimes a keyboard. At one point, when we were doing these in South Carolina, we had, so we always operate under this idea of a pickup band. So you show up with your instrument and you get to play. And we have books with the chords written in them, so if you can read a chord structure, you can come and you can play along. So one day, when we had started this, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when we had done this, this guy shows up. He's about this tall, and he must be in his late 60s, and he has a handlebar mustache that curls up like this, and these little tiny glasses, and he shows up carrying this black case, and he opens it, and it's a baritone saxophone. And so in situations like that, we all sort of look at each other and say,
this could be interesting. Right?
And he took it out, and he's a lawyer. His name is Rich, but he is like a virtuoso on the baritone saxophone. So we're playing songs like and I would turn to him and I'd say, take a solo, and he played a solo. Now all the solos sounded like the theme from Benny Hill. So all the solos sounded like it was this beautiful sort of impromptu situation where we didn't know him, showed up with a saxophone, and then he played with us for months and months. And it was glorious. So, anyways, so Nadia sort of brought it back to the United States, as far as we can tell. I was a part of a church in St. Paul called Humble Walk, and we started doing these events at a local tavern in the city. It's everywhere, and I think the reason that it's everywhere is because we need something like this in our lives. Really quickly, help me figure out, let's come up with a list of places where we sing in public, even if we're not professionally trained.
Baseball parks,
or sporting events in general, right? Especially if you go to England, you go to a soccer game. They're always singing. Football, they're always singing. Yeah. Where else?
Christmas caroling,
that's a good one.
Paul McCartney concert.
Sure, like a live music concert, yeah. And you know all the songs, and you're singing, let it be, right?
Schools.
But less and less, right? And so maybe, what else?
Camping,
yeah. Maybe
oh, that's good.
Now, I would argue, yes, maybe not. That's public, right? That's not public space, but we're also kind of set apart.
Mm-hmm. Not in Oregon.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone's camping all the time in Oregon.
Yeah, they're really close together.
The point that I'm getting to is these opportunities to sing in public together are growing fewer and fewer.
Church.
Thank you, yeah. That's one we almost missed, isn't it? Especially when we think about, let's even just think about the Christmas season. We talked about Christmas caroling. It's gotten to the point where most of the Christmas carols, reasonably, that have to do with theological matters and biblical stories aren't sung in schools anymore, right?
Right.
And so we've got this sort of vacuum of how do we pick up this mantle of singing songs of our faith so our kids know them? Because if we're holding off until Christmas and we're only singing Christmas songs on Christmas, mm-hmm. right? Maybe my kids won't know "O Come All Ye Faithful" unless I teach them how to sing "O Come All Ye Faithful." And so events like this, for the most part, we're just providing opportunities for people to sing together in public, because I think that's something magical, especially when you have those moments of people like Rich with his saxophone showing up, and something unexpectedly beautiful happens. So I thought maybe I'll take a break from talking for a second, and we can sing something together. I don't have any hymnals for you, so what's a hymn that we all know the first verse to? We could do Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace is a good one. What else? I'm going to write these down.
Beautiful Savior.
Beautiful Savior is a good one. Or Abide With Me, maybe. It's another good one. Beautiful.
Shall we gather at the
Lord's Table? Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Let's do that one right now. Shall we? Mm-hmm. Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. Come Thou Fount. Well, what was the other one? The next one?
What'd you say?
Keep it in mind. Let's see, shall we gather?
A mighty fortress being in a Lutheran spot.
That's a whole other can of worms. Shall we gather? So, shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river that flows by the throne of God. So one thing we'll do is we'll take hymns that are familiar, and maybe we'll just change the rhythm just a little bit to make it a little bit more unexpected. So, so when we do Shall We Gather, instead of going, we'll go. Again, I like to make this a community effort. What do you think we need for a Beer and Hymns event?
Beer.
Okay.
It's right there in the title, yes. Right? Otherwise, it's just in hymns.
Maybe.
Maybe beer? Sure.
People. Something to drink.
Yeah, people. Something to drink. I like that. People.
So what do these pubs and taverns think about it?
What's that one?
What do the pubs and taverns think about it when you
Great.
Come in and
question. The first time you go to a local pub or tavern, and we'll talk about why in a second, let me remember, we'll talk about why we do this at a pub or a tavern, okay? When you first go to them, you walk up and you say, can I talk to your manager or your booking person? And you say, I want to do an event where I'm going to bring all these people in and we're going to sing songs about Jesus in your bar. And they look at you like you're crazy. And then you say, I don't know how many people are going to be there, but they're all guaranteed to order food and drinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they say, all right, when do you want to do this? And we say, give us your least busy night.
Yeah.
Give us a Monday.
Yeah.
Okay? And nobody's coming in on a Monday. They say, okay. The first night you show up, you bring in 30 people, maybe 50. Uh-huh. And then the manager comes up to you at the end of the night and says, when can you come back? there's a reason that we do this sort of thing. So we'll see, we need a space, right?
Yeah, we do.
And there's a reason we do this sort of thing in public. Both there's a theological reason, I think, and there's sort of a practicality reason. If you're going to do a Beer and Hymns event, right, you can do it anywhere, but for the love of all that is holy, do not do it at your church, okay? Because if you start an event by your church, at your church, who's going to come?
Your church.
Your church. If you start an event down the street at O'Grady's bar or whatever, and you talk to the other churches in your area, and say, hey, we're going to do this, bring some books from your church, and then you put up some flyers at the local guitar store or whatever, you still might only get people from your church, but you're also going to get a handful of people who saw the words beer and hymns put together and thought, that's ridiculous, I want to go to that. You'll also get folks who wander in on their way to the bathroom and do one of those. Everybody in there is singing, "Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of Man." Truly, I love thee. Is like, I don't know what's going on in there, but you've sort of planted this seed of singing theology in public, and because that's what hymns are, for more so than visual art is fantastic, and you can interpret things from that, but I think that songs of faith have this sort of explicit, like, here's what we believe, or what we think we believe, or what we'd like to believe. And so much rich tradition there that stretches for a long time. So someone said, a book. We do come up with a little book of hymns.
Song sheets, because they're less formal.
Song sheets are much less formal. We made a book just so we could reuse it.
Uh-huh.
You know, but song sheets also, they do communicate something different than a bound book, right?
Yeah.
And so for a while, when we did it in Minnesota, we would print maybe 20 songs in a little pamphlet, right? And we would sing those. So not only would we sing songs like Beautiful Savior, stuff like that, we would sing songs of faith that maybe didn't make the cut into our hymnal, right? So if you look in the ELW, you're not going to find I'll Fly Away. Because it's kind of rapturey, and that, you know, it communicates something that maybe we as Lutherans aren't cool with. But when we sing it together in community at the bar, then we can turn to each other afterwards and say, so why isn't that song in the hymnal, right? Or last spring, our beer and hymns happened to fall on Ascension Day, when we celebrate the story of Jesus ascending up into heaven, and so we sang, I'll Fly Away.
The other thing about that hymn in particular, and there are probably more, is they're familiar to a whole different population of people that might not have really connected.
Totally. We'll also do, you know the Hank Williams song that goes, wander so painless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Now that's never going to be the other thing. Praise the Lord, I saw the light, you know. But that does have a connection with people. So in that vein, we'll also sing songs like, when I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And we had a great connection with one of our servers in a downtown bar, because we sang, I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord, and you don't really care for music, do you? Hallelujah, well, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That song has been provided, facilitated some of the most beautiful moments that we've experienced at Beer and Hymns, because people have an emotional connection to that song. And I think that emotional connections that can be sort of facilitated by music like that, they lay this foundation for relationships. And so when we talk about a space, one of the reasons we do it in public is not only for the strangers who wander by, but it's for the serving staff. We have a saying when we do beer and hymns that we sort of share every time during announcements. We say, they'll know we are Christians by our
tips.
Because we know that the people who are working in this mm-hmm. place make a lot of their income from the tips. So we settle up for them and say, don't forget to pay your bills, right? We're not buying the beer for you. Don't forget to pay and tip 40%. 50%, right? Because that's a sort of a crass way of monetizing how much we care about these people. But we do care about these servers who work really hard and who make their ends meet. This is sort of an anecdotal story that may or may not have anything to do with that. But so when we were in Minnesota, we did beer and hymns at this bar called Shamrocks, which is this old Irish bar on West 7th Street. And we had one guy who was our server almost every month. His name was Austin. And so my pastor, who is named Jody, Jody's a terrific pastor. So Jody, during beer and hymns, would sit by the door. And when someone would stick their head in, they would say, what is going on? And she would say, oh, we're singing. And she says, you want to come? And they come sing? They say, no. She says, okay. And then, we go on. But she formed this relationship with Austin. So she knew that he was trying to be an actor. So she knew when he was having shows and would spread that word at announcements during worship. And so for those of you who were in Ace's session yesterday, when he talked about walking through the streets of Baltimore with that pastor, and the homeless guy says, that's my pastor, right?
Yeah.
It got to the place where Austin never came to Humble Walk for worship, but Austin saw Jody as his pastor. Mm-hmm. And so one day we showed up for an event, and I saw Jody sort of disappear out the back with Austin. And later she said, one of the other servers at the bar had committed suicide.
Oh.
And had died by suicide. And the whole staff who was on staff that night was there to work, but they were all shaken. And so he said, would you come and talk to us? And so she went with the whole staff of the bar into the back room, into the serving room, and talked, and they prayed. And for whatever, end goal that is, that was this beautiful moment of the kingdom of God that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't shown up being ridiculous and singing songs in the bar. And so maybe that alone makes something like this worth it. And that's another reason why we do it in public. If you're looking for a space to do this, this is a personal preference. I always love doing it in a bar or a restaurant where you can be in a public space, but if they have a side room, even better. Because then you aren't like someone's eating their dinner and you're up in their face going like this, right? But again, the least busy night of the week is a good night to do it. And sooner or later, people who aren't a part of your community start coming back just for beer and hymns. We would advertise it by setting it up on Facebook and just making Facebook events. When I moved to South Carolina and started doing the events there, I made a Facebook page called South Carolina Beer and Hymns. And so we started getting all these people who just follow it, just so they know when our next beer and hymns event is. And when I would forget and not put one on the calendar, I would start getting frustrated email messages saying, when's the next event? When's the next event? Beer. We always sort of went by the mantra that, what was it? Beer's not required. Singing is encouraged. Making friends is required, right? So we know that for a lot of folks, beer is a hurdle, or it can be something that they've wrestled with and is a real demon for them, if you want to use that kind of language. And so we never say, you have to drink beer. Everybody, let's drink beer, blah, blah, blah. You show up and have food. You can have water. You don't have to order anything. You can just sit there and sing with us. But once in a while, whenever we would talk about this in spaces like this, or educational spaces, people would say, hey, listen, I've been an Alcoholics Anonymous for 20 years, and it troubles me that you would make an event around the idea of beer. And we say, I get that. This probably isn't the event for you, not to be rude, beer and hymns events are not 12-step programs. That's not why we're doing them. We're doing them just as, this little time set apart. But to facilitate that conversation, maybe there's another event you can be a part of. We're starting something in South Carolina, you don't even know this, at our church. Now, we're going to do something at the local Mexican restaurant It's sort of a version of Theology on Tap.
Mark.
And God help me, we're going to call it Taco About God.
Taco.
Yeah, I know, right? My wife is giving me the worst thing in the world right now. Just to give people a chance in a public space to get together, maybe that's the thing for you. I think back, speaking again of Nadia Boltz Weber's church. So they were doing beer and hymns for a while, and she tells this story in one of her books. I think it's Pastrix. It might be Accidental Saints, one of those two books. And she tells this story of they were doing beer and hymns events, and there was this incident where a bishop in Wisconsin was arrested for drunk driving and hit someone with his car after a beer and hymns event. Right? And so everyone came to Nadia and they said, what do we do about this beer and hymns event we've got coming up? You know, and Nadia's first instinct is, I'm going to cancel it, you know? But then she sort of goes back on that, and as the weeks go on, she says, no, you know, hold on. Because, and she mentions that one of the songs they sing at their events, a cappella then, is this song by Mark Mummert that's, all of us go down to the dust, even at the grave we make our song, alleluia, alleluia. So even when we go down to the grave, we do it singing. And that's what beer and hymns events are about. They're about singing in community. They're not about the beer. They're about singing. And even in times of trial and death and hardness, we go through it singing. And so that's something that I really appreciate.
I have a question. Do you ever have folks who are offended?
What?
They perhaps don't like Christianity. Why are you in my space with proposing when I'm just trying to have a nice evening?
I never.
Never. Oh, that's
interesting. I've never had someone say, what is this garbage? Get this out. Part of the reason might be, since we're in South Carolina, this is sort of a generalization about the South, but being a Christian is much more culturally acceptable there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're used to much more vehement proselytizing than people sitting around going, oh my dear. We've never had that. We have had the occasional drunk person wander in and offer their thoughts.
Yeah.
And to them we say, great.
Thank you.
thank you for your input. And so on and so forth. Oh, I mentioned this before. If you do this through your church, don't affiliate it with your church. It's not a bait and switch. It's not a tool to get people to come to your church. It's not to say, hey, come to this. And by the way, do you like communion? Like, it's...
You're here. How do you feel?
Right. Can I interest you in some wafers that don't taste very good? We suggest, you know, like, reach out to other churches, see if they all want to send people, but don't get up there and say, we're all from such and such Lutheran church. And, you know, because then it becomes disingenuous a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes a little bit like, this is the whole reason we're doing this. And it's not.
Right.
The reason we're doing this is to get people to sing out and process their theology in public with each other and start relationships. That's just a little idea.
Don't you need someone who is musically talented, who has a passion for this?
You need
amateur hour would not work.
You know the words I would use for that? You would need a champion.
That's a
right?
Good. Yeah.
You need someone, and they don't have to be brilliant. They don't have to be, like, earlier on last week, many of you have met Janelle, who's our guest artist for the week, and I went to one of her sessions, you were there, and she showed all this mind-blowing visual art they've been doing at their church, and I looked at that and said, well, that's great. I can't do that, you know? Like, I left feeling a little bit like, and then I realized, you know, we have these people. We have people in our communities that maybe they can't make that cool, fragmented dove that she created for Advent, but they can do something. Or if you want to look at the art piece that we created last night, by itself, each one of those little cardboard squares are not Monet paintings, right? But wait till you see it tonight in the space, the way she's arranged it and hung it up together. And that's it. You don't need someone on guitar. You don't need someone on piano. You do need someone to start the song.
And you need some people who can carry it to me.
And you need, well, you need some, yeah, I mean, if you, if they get together and every song is, everyone's singing in a different key, at a different tempo, it's going to get old fast,
mm-hmm.
right? But I'm guessing there's someone who was in choir in high school
mm-hmm.
and can start the song, they can sing, a lot of that will be use what you have and don't try to recruit the perfect person. Unless you have someone in mind that is like, man, that person would be really good at this. You know, use the gifts that are already there. Don't look for your Janelle to make your art.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Look for the people who are already in your community that have the ability to do that. But you're right, you do need that. You need a champion. You need somebody who can make the event on Facebook. And call the bar. It's not hard. It's part of my job now. It's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a hard part of my job to say, how about the first Monday of next month? You know, and then show up and play and sing. You don't necessarily need a sound system. It's easier if the bar has a sound system. But that's another sort of thing that makes it more complicated. And a lot of times, the easier it is, the better. The more simple, the better. And so, we would, like I said, we would have a pickup band. Sometimes you'll get, like we had the other night, with six guitars and a mandolin and a ukulele and someone on the accordion and Rich on his baritone saxophone, and it's great. And sometimes you'll show up and it's me and one other guy who plays the mandolin and it isn't very good. Right? And in those cases you say, well, even at the grave, we make our song. And you sort of like plow through it, and you try your best, and you go home to your wife and say, that was hard. Some months is just this joyful, raucous, high-energy celebration. Some months is like pulling teeth. You know, some months, the people who show up really want to sing. And some months, they don't.
It sounds like you do this once a month.
About...
It's
way.
Not a
yeah.
weekly thing. It's...
There was a point when we had moved to South Carolina and we had interest from all these different corners of the city that I did three a month. And that almost killed me. That's, like, and it doesn't sound like it would, but 2 hours of playing music
mm-hmm.
and you get home and you're just like, ugh, right? That reminds me. So pattern-wise, what we usually do, and you don't have to do it this way, so we'll do about 50 minutes. We'll take a 10-minute break. We'll sing a bunch of other songs until we're tired. So we say 7 to 9,
mm-hmm.
but who knows how long it's going to take. But it was exhausting to do three a month. So now I'm back to one a month,
mm-hmm.
and it's good. Sometimes we'll do them as special twists. So every December, we'll do beer and carols.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll sing Christmas songs. And again, not only Christmas songs out of the book, so we'll sing Silent Night, right? Holy Night, but we'll also sing Christmas, the snow's coming down, I'm watching it fall. So we'll do all, you know, we'll do stuff that you hear on the radio. We'll do stuff, it's during Advent. Don't tell anybody, but we'll sing Christmas songs during Advent.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So how often do you get like new people coming? How much of your typical crowd is repeat?
Sure. I would say at least 60 to 70% are folks who are like, those are my people. You know, those are the people who show up every month and they're going to be there. And then you'll get other people rotate in and out. Sometimes you'll only get people for a season. Sometimes you'll get people for a few months and they're like, all right, that's enough. Sometimes you'll get people once. Like, no, unexpected. But again,
yeah.
There's no set formula. Everything could be way different for you if you try to do one of these events. I'm always of the sort of school of lowered expectations where, you know, keep it real simple. Show up saying, we're going to sing some songs together. And have someone who's your champion with some energy to get up there and say, let's do this one.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll do is we'll pearl songs in alphabetical order. in the books, right? So that way people know that Amazing Grace is right after Abide With Me. And then comes Be Thou My Vision, and then comes Let It Be, I don't know. So we'll do that, and we'll pick the first song, and then we'll have folks shout out the ones they want to sing next. Let's sing one of these. Let's sing Amazing Grace. I'm going to kick it a little bit. That'll be fun. Another reason to do songs out of the hymnal is sometimes we hold those leather-bound books in our hands, or with pleather-bound books. I don't know what they're bound with. Sometimes when we hold those books and we read the notes on the page, we become sort of enslaved to the notes on the page. Mm-hmm. And if you were to open up the ELW and sing Amazing Grace, you would say, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. But when I sing Amazing Grace, sometimes I want to say, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Say it right. Right, they're still printed with the notes. We'll print note tablature as often as we can. But when you're in a bar, it just feels different, and you can be a little bit more free with the way you sing it. And in that sort of sense, it stretches the boundaries of what's in our canon. You know, like I said earlier, why isn't that in our hymnal? Maybe there's a really good reason, but maybe we can discuss that together. And when we sing like pop songs, some of those songs already have this cultural anthemic quality. So one song people love is just a small town girl. So the newest song that's in our book right now is I Stay Out Too Late. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. Shake it off. And sometimes I'll pair it with the scriptures. So say Jesus says, you know, go two by two into every town. And if they, you say, peace be unto this house. And if they don't accept you, you say, shake it off. So that's that.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
There are a lot of churches, Lutheran included, that are singing praise songs. They don't even sing these hymns anymore.
No.
And they have two services, praise song in the morning and old-fashioned one, or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. So you're all singing the hymns, and I know, and it would be lovely to have
it's fabulous, isn't it? I went through this strange change, an observation, and this is another north-south thing that I experienced. When we sang these songs in St. Paul, Minnesota, we were singing these songs that were 100, 200 years old. We'd sing, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, you know? And the appeal there, I think, for a lot of the crowd was, oh, how ironically cool to sing these old songs. You know what I mean? There was this kind of like quaint nostalgia to it. When we do it in South Carolina, people are happy to sing those songs because they love those songs. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, I still love those songs. That's another great reason to do this. I'm all for keeping the canon fresh, rotating in new things, not doing things just for the sake of doing things. I like contemporary music quite a bit. And I use it in my worship services that I plan on a weekly basis. We'll have a hymn, and then we'll have, you know, a Matt Maher song or something like that. And so we'll mix it up that way. But a good reason why is, when you go to church on Sunday, you sing, not the liturgical stuff, but a max of five hymns, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, how many songs are in the hymnal? 800-something. Mm-hmm. And so there's hundreds and hundreds of songs that aren't in there that you're never going to sing. Mm-hmm. And so, when we sing 25 songs in a night, we're breathing life, and we're sort of doing CPR to these songs that we haven't sung in a long time, and they're worth keeping alive. You're welcome. Let's move on to sort of like a question and answer thing, because I feel like I'm we got about 15 minutes left. Anything I haven't covered that you were hoping that I would, or any questions, other questions that come to mind?
Do you have a song list that you would be willing to share?
Sure.
As a starter point?
Sure. I could come up with just a table of contents of our most recent book. I don't know where I would put that, but I mean, if I had
South Carolina beer and...
Sure. How about this? Once you get out of here, you go to Facebook and search for Beer and Hymns, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it'll be the first page that comes up. It has a little picture of a bottle cap with a B ampersand H on it. And I'll put that up there. Andrew, help me remember.
Yes.
Okay. and so that list is really long. We have a lot of year-round songs, and then we have a Lenten appendix. Mm-hmm. So sort of like those bummer minor key songs that we only want to sing in the 2 months before Easter. You know, because people, man, it was so weird. It was after Easter this year when someone wanted to sing, What's the Good Friday song? Were you there when they crucified? No, I was singing after Easter, and it felt weird, but we did it. And then, of course, we have a Christmas section at the end with all the Christmas songs. Now, we don't place restrictions on that, so if you show up in July and you want to sing a Christmas song, we'll do Christmas in July. Mm-hmm. And we'll sing, He came down that we may have love. You know that one? He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. Hallelujah, forevermore. Which is an Advent song, but it works all the time. I'll post that for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there a different repertory between St. Paul and Columbia?
Only in so much as things evolved and kept changing. Although, the longer you do things, you figure out which songs work, mm-hmm. and which ones, no matter what you do, don't work. Mm-hmm. Now, I've always kept a Mighty Fortress in there, because people love singing it, but as a guitar player, it's a pain in the tits. Mm-hmm. Because it's, a Mighty Fortress is our God. It's like, Martin Luther's like, I will put a chord change on every note. And you get so tired by the end of it. Also, just generally, if you're leading from guitar, with the drum, whatever, some hymns are kind of meant to be marches, right? That's just the way they came up. So when we sing,
Onward Soldiers.
What's that?
Onward
Christian Soldiers. Or,
I was thinking of, like, the Saints Come Marching In, so it's kind of...
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be really great. When the Saints, oh, my Jesus, that'd be good like that, right? But if you do, like a, you have to do that fast, otherwise it's, and it's sort of like a,
well, that's kind of like in church.
Right? So songs like that maybe don't work as well, but I would say 85% of the stuff in the ELW can be done with sort of an acoustic guitar vibe. But maybe that's not you. Maybe your church organist has a portable keyboard. But you want to do it that way, which there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. So, just experience taught me what songs work and what songs don't. And it's really funny how some songs, both contemporary songs and the newer ones, or the ones that people don't know are in the hymnal, become favorites. Like, one of our favorites in South Carolina is Oh, Christ the same, through all our stories' pages, our loves and hope, our failures and our fears. Which is this, and I always say we sang this at my wedding, and then we sing it, and it's to the tune of Danny Boy, which is great, because that's a drinking song, right? It's my first drinking song. And it's this great song about Christ in the past and present and future. And it's a beautiful song, people don't know it's in there, so another
one.
That's
in
it. It's in the hymnal. It's called O Christ the Same. Yeah. Other questions? Do we want to sing another song?
Yeah.
Sure. What's one we can make it all the way through? What's one we can sing the whole thing that you know by heart?
Let's
what's that?
Seek Ye First.
Seek Ye First is a good one. I haven't sung that one here. Do you know that one? Seek Ye First. You'll get it.
Seek Ye First the kingdom of God
and its righteousness.
And his righteousness.
And all these things.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
Hallelujah. Church called Atlanta Bar Church, and this is what they do. They worship at a bar, and they show up at a bar, and they sing. And one time when they did beer hymns, they did beer and camp songs, mm-hmm. right? And that's another thing. That's another place we sing in public. Mm-hmm. Although it's kind of set apart, you know, in the same sense that whole thing is set apart. What are you doing?
She's
gonna drive. Okay. is that it's a place where we learn how to sing together, we work out our faith together, and we learn how to sing. You know, we learn the technique of singing together and breath support and things like that. I hope that covers a lot of what we're looking for. I would just when you get home, do a quick search, look for places that are doing this, and. This doesn't mean you have to start your own beer and hymns.
You can join one.
You can join one, and they would be thrilled. And if they're not thrilled, forget them. Go start your own. But I think most beer and hymns folks, if they're anything like me, will show up every month and say, gosh, I hope people show up. You know, and they do. And you get to all have a really good time together, and it's a very fun time, but it's also good kingdom stuff. It's good work of forming relationships and singing through our theology. Any other questions before we go?
I have a comment.
Yes, here.
On occasion, people will do like a Facebook Live on the on the Beer and Hymns page, and it's my favorite because I have to say, oh, because the
kids. You do have those kids.
No. And so just to be able to see and to experience that from home, too, is mm-hmm. kind of a neat thing to be part of a community and yet afar.
Would you mind doing that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon so those of us on the...
Well, we start at 7, so what is that?
Oh, it's 4 o'clock.
There you go. Yeah, I'll see if Lexa Ann can do that, because she's the one who usually does it. Let's sing one more song together before we go. Let's sing, don't worry, doo-doo-doo-doo, about a thing. Every little thing's gonna be alright. Cause every little thing's gonna be alright. Don't worry about a thing. Do the my doorstep. Birds by my doorstep. Singing sweet songs. Singing sweet songs. Melody pure and true. Melody's pure and true. Singing, this is my message to you. Thank you guys, thanks for coming.
Thank you.